because we got the alternative energy. Right. On nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Radioactive Show. I'm Michaela and I'm joined in the studio today by Friends of the Earth Melbourne's Nuclear Free Collective Coordinator, one of them, Reid. Welcome to the Radioactive Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Now today we are going to be talking about AUKUS, and there's been a huge amount of discussion in the media this week with Albanese's visit to Washington to get explicit endorsement of the AUKUS Pact and the $368 billion plan for Australia to acquire nuclear-powered submarines from the US, as well as getting relief from Trump's trade tariffs. And we know that Australia has committed almost $10 billion to boost the output of nuclear submarine manufacturers in the United States and the United Kingdom. And as we heard reported across this last week, there are no clawback provisions in these agreements. So should Trump decide to ditch AUKUS, or if the submarine manufacturing capacity in the US and UK doesn't sufficiently increase, Australia will be picking up a multi-billion dollar so-called defense tab with nothing to show for it. The US Navy estimates that it needs to build Virginia-class submarines at a rate of 2 a year just to meet its own requirements. And in July of this year, they reported that they were currently building at a rate of 1.13. So despite these signs that Australia may not be paying for anything at all, Albanese told a breakfast meeting of US congressional leaders that Australia has already sent $1 billion, US that is, so 1.6 billion Australian, with more to come. And to quote him, he said, there'll be $1 billion on its way before Christmas, and then a further $1 billion next year, because we understand that we want to uplift your industrial capacity so that we make a contribution for when we purchase your Virginia-class submarines. What exactly Australia is going to get out of this deal, other than the possibility of an eternity of radioactive waste, remains to be seen. Albanese and Trump also announced the signing of a critical minerals deal, which is intended to boost the supplies of rare earths and other critical minerals, as Trump is looking for ways to counter China's dominance of the market, and China's also restricting their exports of some of these critical minerals, which of course are essential for Trump's war machine. Despite all these announcements, there's a significant lack of detail and assurances about what exactly is going on. But in regards to AUKUS, we do know that here on this continent, there is currently being a significant shift in the way that nuclear materials are being regulated. And so Reid is going to give us a little introduction to that now. And shortly in the show, we're also going to be joined by David Noonan, our special guest. He's an independent environmental campaigner and longtime nuclear-free activist. Over to you, Reid, for an overview of what's happening.
Thank you so much, Michaela. Yeah, I wish we had cheerier news to share, but yeah, it's been a big, big week and beyond with nuclear and AUKUS internationally and here. And something that I think has kind of slipped under the radar a little bit is the changes to the regulation of nuclear materials, including waste. So for over 25 years, so-called Australia has had a nuclear regulator, which is a government agency who reports to the Department of Health. And they're called the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency, or ARPANSA. The primary role of ARPANSA has been to protect Australians from adverse impacts of radiation, hence reporting to the Department of Health. It's been resourced to do that, and it's generally expected to be consistent with international standards, and there's a fairly high degree of transparency, like publishing their decisions and annual reports and things like this. At the moment, that agency has been regulating the nuclear industry. It's a civilian regulator, foreign by non-military personnel. But now, for the first time ever, all military nuclear activities on this continent, including power and waste from AUKUS are no longer being controlled by a civil regulator like ARPANSA. It's now going to be controlled by a dedicated military regulator. And rather than reporting to the Department of Health, this new nuclear agency reports to the Department of Defense and is directable by the Defense Minister. This new nuclear regulation agency is called Australian Naval Nuclear Power Safety Agency, or ANPSA. Just doesn't really roll off the tongue, but it does sound very similar in a lot of ways to ARPANSA. But there are some really significant differences between them, and I think it's really important that we understand which one we're talking about when we're talking about regulation of nuclear production and waste. So the job of ANPSA, the military one, will essentially be to provide confidence that AUKUS is all going well. Whereas the civil regulator, ARPANSA's primary role was and is to protect from adverse impacts of radiation. So this new military regulator, ANPSA, has much lower transparency and reporting criteria. And the Director General also has like a transparency get out of jail free card, because if the Director General is of the opinion that the publication of some information would threaten or undermine the security of the stolen wealth, the Commonwealth, that material or that information can be withheld. So effectively, as is the way with military operations, only minimal information will be shared. Defence has a special license not to answer scrutiny based on national security. So we're really lacking civilian check and balance with this new agency. It leaves AUKUS in the hands of the militaries, the Australian military, and the US military obviously has a big hand in what's going on here. But it's a major whole of government kind of expenditure, but totally operated by defence and regulated by defence. So yeah, that oversight of nuclear production, management, nuclear waste is being handed over to the weapons wielders. Yeah, so I think this is a really big deal, and yet I haven't really heard very much about it, so I really wanted to come on the show and, yeah, let listeners know that this is happening. And there's still quite a lot to find out because, it's a pretty secretive kind of operation.
Let's go to David Noonan to bring us up to speed on some more of the details that are available. Welcome to the Radioactive Show, David Noonan. Thanks so much for joining us today and sharing with us more information about the latest developments with AUKUS.
Hello, Michaela.
And I'm joined by Reed here too.
Hey, Michaela. Hey, David. How are you going?
Good.
We just heard about this significant change that's happening here with the move from ARPANSA to AMP.
Australian Naval Nuclear Power Safety Agency, or ANPSA.
Managing nuclear activities under AUKUS. Tell us some more details about this.
Okay, well, look, we're now 4 years into AUKUS, and the public has a right to know what our federal Labor government are up to, especially over the proposed for Australia to take high-level nuclear waste, to end up with an untenable, unprecedented burden for all future generations to have to manage high-level nuclear waste, which is also effectively bomb fuel and would remain that way. It would need to be isolated and safeguarded effectively forever. But Minister Miles, so Deputy Prime Minister, Minister for Defence, but really, you know, this case, Minister for AUKUS, he's already broken a key commitment that he made, that he would announce a process to manage and site that high-level nuclear waste. He's already 18 months late in that proposed announcement. What he has done instead of transparency is the federal government have moved to take up undemocratic powers to impose high-level nuclear waste storage across Australia, effectively by decree. Our Governor-General signed in new AUKUS regulations back on the 2nd of October. These new legal federal powers give them the right to override state and territory laws, specifically to override the will of the parliament in states and territories who have already signed into law, for instance, in South Australia, the Nuclear Waste Storage Prohibition Act of 2000, brought in originally by a Liberal state premier and strengthened by a Labor premier, Mike Rann, when he came to office in 2002. This is the will of the parliament of the people here, yet federal Labor are taking these undemocratic powers to impose waste against our law and against our free will.
Yeah, it's freaky stuff. How does what you're describing, like these new powers, are they part of AMPSA?
Well, they may be operated by the new federal military nuclear so-called safety regulator that takes over from the civilian authorities. That new regulator may, in the Fed's language, stand up today. The new federal military regulator may take the powers to themselves today, at the 1st of November. And at one level, it's an affront to civil society that the military will be deciding safety issues across states and territories in terms of nuclear safety and nuclear waste. It's also a real threat to traditional owners, to Indigenous people who have cultural responsibilities to protect country. And then there are some key calls that we really need Minister Miles to be transparent about, and also others, including the South Australian Premier, who's got an election in March, and he should be willing to say, to declare his position as to whether he wants, in the long run, South Australia to potentially become a nuclear waste dump state, or whether he prefers we be the festival state instead.
Yeah, well, he seems to want Australia to be the space industry and defence state as part of his title. Yeah, so waste management is a really big problem globally, and Australia will be receiving, supposedly, from the US submarines that are the Virginia-class ones, and they will need to be decommissioned at some point. Do you know if there's a plan for the submarines that Australia is supposedly receiving under AUKUS for the waste of those submarines to be managed?
Well, the federal government have been unwilling to let us know any of their proposals and plans. It's really a failure to disclose what they have in mind to do to Australians in the future. But those US subs that you refer to, it's intended that Australia will simply put a flag on an existing second-hand US military nuclear submarine that's already will be loaded at the reactor there that will have operated for 10 or 12 years, perhaps, in the US Navy service. It'll be loaded with high-level nuclear waste, effectively with this highly enriched uranium fuel, bomb fuel, that can be used to make as fissile material to make atomic weapons in the future. That's really US military high-level nuclear waste that Australia will be taking on forever responsibility for in the early 2030s, according to Minister Miles. But there's been no transparency, no plan, proposal, or even a process announced by Minister Miles as to how he'll manage that. Where will those subs be decommissioned? What are the proposed transport routes? For instance, will nuclear submarines not only be proposed to be made according to a British design at Osborne at Port Adelaide, but will those subs and other subs potentially, nuclear subs, potentially be decommissioned there? How will that nuclear waste be moved from Port Adelaide? Will it be shipped to Whyalla and then taken by some transport route up toward Woomera for a potential long-term storage site? The federal government have been unwilling to let us know. They claim they have multi-decade plans for AUKUS, but they won't tell us what they are.
Yeah, and we've now got a regulator that sort of seems to be able to not give information even more so, you know, just doesn't have the same transparency even that ARPANSA had.
This is failure at multiple levels. You know, Defence had a so-called public consultation on these new AUKUS regulations, the powers to override states and territories and the powers to set up this new military so-called safety regulator. That the Defence have so far failed to even release the public submissions from that consultation, and they've failed to provide any update or engagement to the people, the civil society, the NGOs who provided input to those proposed new regulations. This new military safety regulator will have the power to override state laws, the power to override prohibitions, essentially protections that civil society has already put in place around much of Australia, because there are very good reasons why high-level nuclear waste is illegal, and I can quote the objects of the South Australian legislation that sets out what's at stake. It says to protect the health, safety and welfare of the people of South Australia and to protect the environment in which they live. That's the reasons that the South Australian Parliament decided that high-level waste should be illegal here, yet this new federal nuclear military regulator, that is not independent, it's not transparent. It reports to the Defence Minister, Miles, rather than to the Health Minister, which the current civilian ARPANSA authority reports to. We're going to be in the hands of some secretive military body as to how they deal with these issues in future. It's significantly undemocratic. That's the level that, you know, whether Australians follow what's been going on with AUKUS, they need to get the message that the federal Labor government are taking on seriously undemocratic powers to override people's will, even the will of the parliaments around Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that has characterised the whole of this AUKUS deal. You know, there was no public debate or parliamentary debate on this at all. You're tuned to The Radioactive Show, produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio and broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. Today, we're speaking with independent environmental expert David Noonan. What has been your experience being involved and putting in submissions and speaking at inquiries on the various AUKUS developments?
Well, at no stage has there been an overarching inquiry as to why we're doing this in the first place and whether it's even a good idea. And, you know, even heading down this direction, which obviously seriously federal and state Labor in both SA and WA are hell-bent on that, basing US nuclear subs in WA on supposedly building parts for British and American subs across Australia and potentially building new UK-designed nuclear subs at Port Adelaide. That they've got all those plans in mind, but they won't tell the public what they intend to do with the waste that arises through that. But there's no transparency and there's no answers to key questions. You know, Indigenous leaders have put the calls on the federal Labor to answer whether they are willing to commit to respect and support Indigenous people's right to free, prior and informed consent over the proposed storage of any hazardous material on their country. Essentially, it's a UN-recognised right for Indigenous people to say no to the imposition of AUKUS high-level nuclear waste on their country. But so far, Defence Minister Miles and the state Labor and governments in SA and WA are unwilling to answer whether they'll even respect that right.
Okay, so we just have no idea if they're going to override this or not.
No, they take the powers to impose, to override upon themselves, and they won't answer what they intend to do with it.
Really shocking. And what avenues do you see for opposing this or putting into play any stops?
Well, at one level, there have been a number of nuclear waste dump agendas and proposed impositions in Australia, both from the federal government and proposals to take international nuclear waste. And every one of those proposals has been opposed effectively by civil society and especially by Indigenous people in regard to protecting culture and country. So that, you know, there's a track record here where the public have won against every attempted imposed nuclear waste dump agenda so far. And this is just the latest iteration of the federal government having effectively no respect for communities' right to decide their own future. We have a state election in South Australia in March, so it really will be, there'll be a campaign for all of the state members of parliament, particularly the Premier, and all of the candidates for the state election to have to answer as to what is their position on whether South Australia should be lined up, targeted effectively by the federal government to end up being a nuclear waste dump, and whether those state aspiring politicians and the Labor government here are willing to defend their own state and their own interests against a nuclear waste agenda.
Yeah, well, it is so important, for people to get active on this at this time. For people who are listening in South Australia who want to support that campaign in the lead up to the election, what is the best way for them to get involved?
I suppose at one level we're still working that out. I'm sort of a semi-retired individual in this game now. I've had key roles in the past in trying to head off nuclear waste agendas, and I suppose we're just realising across civil society on this side of the border that we've got to get our act together again. So between now and the state election, there'll be some organised efforts to do that, some through Friends of the Earth and some through other civil society groups. But really, I suppose we need a broader audience to understand what's at stake here. The public's right to decide their own future, Indigenous people's rights to be able to protect country, the expectations on federal and state governments that they be transparent, that they be accountable, that there should have to be full disclosure over such important public interest issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also saw amongst the big announcements that have been making headlines across the week is further support from Trump and Albanese with more billions of dollars designated to the development of critical minerals mines and processing here. I know that's something that you have been looking at in the past. Did you want to comment on what you see happening here?
Well, one key aspect of that, the key related aspect is the proposal for new environmental powers at the federal level in Australia to amend, reform or even replace the existing Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. And now what we've seen this week is the federal Environment Minister, Mr. Watts, has indicated that he wants to have a power in the new environmental laws so that for so-called reasons of national interest, national security, and he cited defence, that they should be able to have exemptions for defence from having to comply with proposed new standards in federal environmental laws. Now, that you could see that could directly be applied to a proposal from defence for storage facilities, for instance, for AUKUS nuclear waste, where that they would well say and might well be readily accepted by others in the federal Labor government, given their performance so far, that defence should be given exemptions from having to comply with proposed new environmental standards. And that they would, with these powers, it really would complete the set that just this month the federal government have taken powers to impose nuclear waste against override of state and territory laws. And this would be an additional power where the federal government could even exempt themselves from having to comply with proposed new standards in federal environmental law. And defence would then potentially have, you know, free range to target whoever they like to impose the high-level nuclear waste, including that US military origin high-level nuclear waste that would arrive in Australia and have an Australian flag put on top of it sometime in the early 2030s if we do buy secondhand US Virginia subs.
It seems like accountability and transparency and democratic processes are all on the decline in the nuclear industry here and internationally at a time when there's a revamped interest in nuclear power, nuclear weapons testing even, as announced by Trump a few days ago. Yeah, it's really important stuff to be trying to get our heads around. So we're really, really grateful to have you, David, to talk to us about all this.
Really, yeah, well, nuclear has a long record of corrupting society and undermining democratic principles and institutions.
Absolutely.
Thanks again for joining us on the show, and we look forward to getting some more updates from you in the future.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for that opportunity.
And that was David Noonan, who's an independent environmental campaigner and has an incredible history of supporting all the activities of the nuclear free movement and providing so much important research and information to directly impacted communities. So thanks so much, David, for all your work. On the critical minerals issue, Friends of the Earth Melbourne has launched a petition around this critical minerals deal that has just been announced. So we're going to be speaking to Chloe Oldenhoven in a couple of weeks' time and going deeper into the detail of that. But we've got a few events to announce before the end of the show. So we will start with the protest of the Indo-Pacific Arms Expo.
Yeah, the Indo-Pacific Weapons Expo is coming up in Sydney, and there's a protest on the 4th of November at 8 a.m. meeting at the Chinese Garden at Darling Harbour. And that protest is both calling for the cancellation of AUKUS and to stop arming Israel.
Heading over to Western Australia, there's a Buffalo Club event on the 19th of November from 6 to 8 p.m. That's at the Buffalo Club in Fremantle, and they're going to be focusing on what is happening in Western Australia with this new wave of nuclear threats that is being imposed by the AUKUS plans.
We have another one coming up in WA, actually. There's a community flotilla in Rockingham Beach in Perth, which is hoping to paddle out towards Garden Island, where there's a US base, and to try to take back the sound there for community recreation and fishing. as opposed to AUKUS and military use. So that's on Sunday, the 23rd of November from 10 a.m. at Rockingham Beach Community Flotilla. And you can find out more about that on the Instagram page, Stop AUKUS WA.
Another event that is happening in Canberra, so hosted by Beyond Uranium Canberra, they are going to present Dr. Jim Green and friends, Let's Talk About AUKUS. That will be a night of conversation, food and music. And that's at the food co-op shop, Kingsley Street, Acton, from 6 p.m. on Tuesday 25th of November, and it's entry by donation. On Thursday 20th of November at 6 p.m. at the Melbourne Unitarian Peace Memorial Church Hall, 110 Grey Street in East Melbourne, is the launch of a book called The Search for Security, AUKUS and the New Militarism. And the book features a diverse and expert group of scholars explaining the politics of AUKUS and the threat of war at a time of great international uncertainty.
We'll put all the details for these on our webpage with the podcast notes. It's 3cr.org.au/radioactive. Thanks so much, Reid, for today. And it's been great having you here in the studio.
Thanks, Michaela. It's been great to be here.
That's all for today's show. Thanks so much to the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne for their ongoing support for the program. The Radioactive Show was produced in the studios of 3CR on unceded Kulin lands and is broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. And please join us again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.